ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
It is 6 o'clock, and we are live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. That is 844-225-5580. The text 21232. That is 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580. Nick. And at the Jerry Daniels. Thanks for joining us here. We got a full 2 hours today on Draft Week.
Woohoo!
It is Draft Week. NFL Draft Week here. It's Thursday.
I feel like I've been talking about it for like 6 months.
Thursday coming up. You'll hear it live here on ESPN 580. Jerry and I will be out at Twin Peaks. We're going to get into the draft. We're going to get into Deshaun Watson. We're going to get into the NBA playoffs as well as the Marlins' new owner. Yeah, Jeets. Derek Jeter is in the building from Major League Baseball. All kinds of stuff. We're going to take you up to 8 o'clock. Of course, the Kevin Sutton Show from 8 to 9. Your home for extreme sports coverage right here on ESPN 580. But every show, we kick it off with the top trending topics from across Orlando. It is the Top 6 at 6.
And now, the Top 6 at 6. 1.
All right, our Top 6 at 6 is brought to you by our friends at Yuengling. You can drink an ice-cold Yuengling at probably 28 degrees this Thursday when we're out there at Twin Peaks for the NFL Draft. Yuengling is brewed by America's oldest brewery since 1829. We are less than 50 hours from the 2017 NFL Draft that starts at 7 o'clock this Thursday. Join us live. If you come out and say hi, your first Yuengling is on me. Come say hi to me and Nick. Actually, Scott and Nick are out there starting at 4 o'clock, so why wait till 6? Head out there at 4, and then you can get your first free beer of me at 6.
This is going to be an odd draft. This is a lot's going to happen here. Like,
can
there's
you believe
more.
We really don't know who's going in the top 5, now.
We really don't. Usually, the interest level, like the interest quotient, I guess, of an NFL draft usually relates directly to how many solid and good franchise quarterbacks there are. This year, not any franchise quarterbacks, depending on how you feel about Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky and kind of where they're rated. But we don't know. We have no idea. And it's also a draft where an offensive lineman isn't going to go number one. I can't wait to see what the Browns do. I can't wait to see what my Chicago Bears do. Of course, Jacksonville there lurking at number 4. What could they do? Maybe a quarterback to go up against Blake Bortles. It is going to be a very intriguing NFL draft. And in the city of brotherly love, first year it's in Philadelphia, why not have a little bit of excitement?
Want to remind you one more time that Cleveland's number 1, San Francisco's number 2, Chicago, with their recently retiring, I guess not retiring
He's not
now.
Retiring.
He's not retiring, Chicago. And then, of course, Tampa Bay has the 19th pick. The Dolphins have the 22nd overall. And, of course, you mentioned the Jags coming in there at 4.
Man, you miss the playoffs and you still end up with the number 22 pick. Ugh.
2.
I know, it does kind of stink, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, my buddy Dale Jr. will retire from NASCAR circuit at the end of the season. Apparently, Earnhardt told Hendrick Sports owner Rick Hendrick back on March 29th. He said, "I just wanted an opportunity to go out on my own terms," Earnhardt said on Tuesday. Earlier last year, after he was basically out almost the entire year due to concussions, he said, "You know, if I win, I'll retire," but that was it. But apparently now he wants to leave. I'm suspicious of this whole announcement.
What are you suspicious about?
It's clear that his sister, who's his manager, did not know about this. And they had no merchandise ready. And you know, for the guy who's the number one merchandise seller in all of NASCAR, they would maybe have a plan on when his retirement merchandise would come out. They've got nothing. So I think this decision, honestly, I think he's sincere in the fact that he made his decision right before he told Rick. And I think he made his decision recently. But here's why I'm suspicious. He's kind of alluding to the fact that he's got the 2 Xfinity races next year and that he's not really going to step away from racing. So I think he's got an offer from one of these sub races to join, become a partner, like maybe ARCA or something, and then blow up that circuit and stay racing, just not be in NASCAR anymore.
Well, listen, like I don't share that feeling with you. I think this is a guy who got married on New Year's Eve, who missed most of last season because of a concussion, and he's worried about his health a bit and doesn't know if he necessarily he's got hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay,
sure.
He's got more money than he could ever spend, and also they have time with that merchandising stuff. They can sell that for the entire year. They're not missing a whole lot of opportunity on Dale. Like, I understand that, like, maybe he wasn't wearing a Dale Jr. final tour. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but is he going to have the same injuries on, say, the Rolex 24?
I don't know if he's going to race that or not, right? I mean, like, he said that he might jump in a car from time to time, and I'm sure Kobe still plays one-on-one, but I think Dale is concerned about his health more than anything and wanting to have a life with his new wife and his family moving forward. The suspicion, I kind of see it, but I think that this is genuine from him.
His last scheduled race is this year in Homestead, Florida. Try to get tickets for that, as our buddy Tony Marino's been saying all day. All right, number three, NFL's Monday Night Football game that you and I were both kind of snoozing at, apparently just got interesting. I don't understand why this is a good fit, but Adrian Peterson is now going to saddle up with the Saints. And on Monday night, September 11th at 7:10, he will face off against his former team in Minneapolis, the Minnesota Vikings. You like that Monday night now?
The Monday night is interesting. First of all, I need to re-clarify, because I said for our number one, the Dolphins missed the playoffs. They made the playoffs. That's right. They had Matt Moore for that one playoff game. Excuse me. I did say that wrong. Thank you. Thank you, texters. But
we love our texters.
Here's the thing. I hate this. I love the Monday night game. Adrian Peterson spent, 10 seasons in Minnesota? He was an NFL MVP there. He was one of the most disruptive running backs that we've seen in NFL history. I'd put him right up there with Jim Brown and those guys. As when you put the rock in his hands, he could go all the way at any point in time. He was elusive. He's a power back. But here's the thing. What tense am I using when I say that? Was. Past.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson's not a number one option anymore. Adrian Peterson is a number two. Now, if you think that he is a number...
But in New Orleans, he doesn't have to worry about competing. It's not like he even has a chance at number one.
Well, I think that he and Ingram are probably going to split equally, but I don't think he's a fit for that offense. It's a pass-happy offense. He doesn't catch out of the backfield. They're going to spread it out a whole lot, which means there's a lot of one-on-one blocking there. There's not a whole lot of pro style either from Drew Brees. He's in the shotgun quite a bit. I don't like it. I don't. I don't think it's a good fit. And also, he didn't go to a team, and I thought he would, that had a chance to make a run at the Super Bowl. This Saints team is a last-place team in the NFC South, maybe a third-place team. They don't have the defense at all. The fit does not make any sense to me whatsoever. But yes, I mean, in terms of that Monday Night Football game at Minnesota, I will be there with my popcorn.
The NFL knew?
There's a whole lot of coincidence there, right?
Yeah.
There is, but listen,
I mean, you and I both looked at each other at that Monday night kickoff, and we're like, what are they doing to ESPN?
Yeah, there's a lot. Maybe he was talking to him, but don't forget, when this schedule was mainly finished up, he was talking to the Raiders and he was talking to the Patriots. Okay. There was a whole lot of movement. I think it's a great coincidence that works out, not just for the NFL, but also ESPN, which has had an awful Monday night slate the last couple of years.
Four.
All right, number four, and probably the number one trending story in Miami, is our friend there, Derek Jeter, formerly number two of the New York Yankees, is apparently part of an ownership group that won a bidding process that includes former Governor Jeb Bush for the Miami Marlins. This explains two things to me. It explains why Derek Jeter went dark with his relationship with the New York Yankees in the last 12, 14 months. And it also explains to me why A-Rod chose not to go the option with the Miami Marlins and to maintain his relationship with the New York Yankees. For those of you who do not know,
that's right. There was
those
that story.
Two are not best friends.
No, yeah. And there was that story about A-Rod being a consultant there,
yes,
or like a hitting coach.
And then that
or
went
something.
Dead.
It did. And I thought that was very interesting too. And that's a great connection to make, Jerry, because the Miami Marlins are getting a great owner. They are. They're getting Derek Jeter. They're getting the pristine face of baseball. Guy's been retired for two or three seasons now. He's still the face of the league. And Miami Marlins fans, they deserve this, because Jeffrey Loria is an awful owner who has dismantled at least one World Series team, right? He built that stadium. He conned that community out of a ton of money. I hate when these billionaires do that. He negotiated all that, brought in Ozzie Guillen, put that team together to get the stadium money with absolutely no intention of keeping that team together. And now, after going through all that, Marlins fans are going to get a good owner.
He
Derek Jeter's going to do right.
Though.
He's going to do right by Miami. You're right. $1.3 billion is the number.
He's going to
clear. Yeah. A ton
over
of money.
$1 billion.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes just let him walk away with it. It's better he's out of baseball.
Five.
All right. This one's kind of interesting for me, and I know I'm kind of didn't want to talk about it. But anyways, former Gator tight end Aaron Hernandez might soon have no convictions on his record. Apparently, there's a little known rule up there in Massachusetts that if you're convicted for a felony for murder, there's an automatic appellate, there's an automatic appeal. If you die between the automatic appeal and your conviction, they vacate that conviction. So there's a couple interesting sides to this.
There's some money sides to this.
There's some money sides to this. This opens up the estate to now sue the Patriots for wages owed because he doesn't have a conviction on his record.
Right.
And it also protects the estate from further civil litigation because now you remove the conviction from the estate's record. This is good. This is actually very interesting.
This is
the most interesting part of the whole thing. I didn't care about the rest of it.
Well, we asked all last week as to why Aaron Hernandez killed himself.
It
seems that perhaps, and there are allegedly three letters that he wrote that were left behind as well, and they haven't released what are on those letters at my last check either, but this could be the reason. And it's once again, like, emotionally, I feel the same way about this news as I did when he killed it. I feel nothing. Like, I
agree.
Here's the thing. I have to say, I hope the Patriots don't have to pay. I hope they don't have to pay.
A lot of money, too.
I know. I feel for the fiance. I feel for the daughter. I do. I feel for his family. Because they did not.
His attorney would have advised him that.
Jose Baez?
Yeah. Do you think he would have advised him?
Yeah. I'll leave that right there.
Okay. Never mind.
Six.
Left money for him,
too. No, it's sitting right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler, the man who went to Morton's Steakhouse before the game was even over in that playoff game back in, what was that? Was that 09? The one playoff game he got? He went over to Morton's Steakhouse, seen eating a steak before the game was even finished.
What do you want him to do?
Anyways.
What do you want Jay Cutler to do?
He turned 34 on the sideline on Saturday.
Sure.
He was released by the Chicago Bears, as you know, the Bears, back in March. 11-year veteran actually holds most passing records for the Chicago Bears.
He does. That's maybe the best quarterback in Bears history.
Goodbye, Cutler.
Yeah.
That's your top 6 at 6. Coming up next, we're going to give you the best of the ESPN Rewind. Want to remind you, tonight you've got no NHL games, but you've got 3 NBA games. OKC will try to avoid elimination back in Houston. The other two series are tied up. Spurs will host Memphis. I still can't believe I'm saying that. And the Clippers will host the Jazz. This is Live, Local, and Loud.